Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also Chief Science Officer of the Obesity Medicine Association. I'm also Editor-in-Chief of Obesity Pillars. And this podcast is entitled Obesity, a Disease. It's the official podcast of the Obesity Medicine Association. And what we do in my podcast is we go over recent articles that we published, and we try to get people who, preferably authors of these papers, to give you that inside viewpoint as to exactly what was going on, and you know the thoughts behind these publications. And we are just so fortunate to have on this article we're going to talk about today. It's called Duties, Tasks, Knowledge, and Skills of an Obesity Medicine Physician: A Practice Analysis. And we're just so fortunate to have with us the lead author. So buckle up, folks. It's the lead author of this publication, Kimberly Gudzoon. Kimberly, why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Currently, I'm the Chief Medical Officer for the American Board of Obesity Medicine Foundation. I'm also a practicing obesity medicine physician, where I served for a very long time at Johns Hopkins. So I'm excited to be here and talk about this paper.
Well, I'm excited about it too. As I said, buckle up, folks, because I don't know anybody that knows any more about this topic than Kimberly here. And let me just give people just a little sense about at least my impression about what this article was all about. I think most people know that in order to develop and provide objectivity in testing and such, pretty good idea to do periodic evaluations of clinical practice. And I think this helps best ensure, at least that's my perception, this best help ensure that the, you know, any exam, in this case, the obesity medicine exam, that it's clinically relevant. It reflects the types of things that are important for the practice of obesity medicine. And so in order to do that, you and your colleagues utilized, you know, a practice analysis approach. And the structured process was for the purpose of gaining in-depth knowledge to help guide what might be important or what might be tested on to become a diplomate of obesity medicine on the exam and such. So I think that's very altruistic, it sounds to me. You know, I don't know if everybody does it, but I know this is kind of a curveball to you, but you know, first off, why don't you tell people what on earth is a practice analysis? And secondly, I mean, is this something that every exam entity our certifying entity does, or is this something that the American Board of Obesity Medicine felt was especially important? Where does this practice analysis and such, where does that all fit in?
Yeah, so a practice analysis is actually a key process to any medical field, really thinking about what is the body of knowledge, what's the scope of that practice. And obesity medicine is at a unique time point. I sort of think we're maybe in our adolescence, I don't know, hard to define there, but we're a rapidly evolving field. And so it's really critical for all fields of medicine, because any field changes over time, to periodically check in, what is the current scope of practice? What are people doing? Because we wanna make sure our certification bodies are reflective of what the current paradigms are. And so this is true, whether it's obesity medicine or cardiology, all fields undergo this. I think for us as obesity medicine, it's even more critical given just how quickly we are evolving.
Well, I mean, I think that's fantastic. And I think that folks should know I think they should know there's so many people that are interested in either becoming a diplomate of obesity medicine, or maybe they're going to recertify in obesity medicine. And I think that it's just really helpful to have this reassurance that you folks do seem to care about what's important to them. And it isn't that you care, okay? You're actually proactively going out and finding these things. So how do you do that? Like from a nuts and bolts practical standpoint, what is the approach that you took to perform this practice analysis? How did you do it?
Yeah, so we really took a step back and thought about what is obesity medicine and also how can we best communicate what obesity medicine is, not only to people who are interested in certifying, but current diplomates as well, because again, things have changed over time. And so we reconvened a small group of obesity medicine physicians. There were 14 of them that we got together in a room for a long weekend. And really sat down and took a critical look from a very clinically oriented perspective of what is it that an obesity medicine physician does. So there was a lot of time, a lot of discussion, a lot of heated discussion at time of how do we define that scope. We also ensured that the individuals who participated in that panel were from a diverse set of backgrounds. So not everyone was from academics, not everyone was from a background of internal medicine. We really tried to diversify that to capture what the field of obesity medicine is. After that, we didn't just stop there at a group of 14 people. We put together everything in different duties, tasks, knowledge, skills into a document, and then actually invited every single diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine to participate in a survey, really looking at each of those tasks and saying, yes, this is important to what I do as an obesity medicine physician, and this is something, how frequently do I do it? And so each of those tasks were rated and assessed. We actually took then a third step. There were a lot of very individual specific line items related to knowledge, skills, and attitudes that we had there was over 400 of those statements that we had a smaller subset of obesity medicine physicians really review in detail. Are we getting this right? Ultimately, then we put that together, and then that ended up creating a new content outline for the American Board of Obesity Medicine, which is now available online publicly. And I really think for the first time, if we compare the old content outline, which ABOM had available, we are providing so much more detail. Obesity medicine, what we do, shouldn't be a secret. And so we're really trying to communicate as clearly as we can. This is what the scope of the field is. And then not just relevant to sort of what you're going to get on your certification exam, but also thinking about for maintenance of certification and really what is it that we do. And we really have the clearest picture, I think, that we've ever had in that document.
Well, look, I mean, it's just amazing. This article lays this all out. And I think it's just going to be a very bad day for the conspiracist. these folks, they just, you don't ever listen to the people. You don't care about what's practical in clinical practice. You never took the time to understand, our needs and whatever. Well, this just blows all that completely out of the water. Because you got people there that were obesity medicine specialists, and they help, gave that initial, viewpoint, and then you follow it up with this, major survey, and you utilize that information, and now all of that, when you consolidate all that work and all that effort in order to, to reflect the practicing clinician, then you took that information in a move of ultimate transparency, and you put it in an outline and you put it on the web. Am I reading that correctly? Is that the interpretation? Is that correct?
That's correct. Again, I think that the transparency process is really key. We published this article in Obesity Pillars because we wanted to be really transparent about the process that we went through. And then it's freely available online, the content outline on the ABOM website that really goes into detail of the specific not just overall duties and tasks, but really getting into the nitty-gritty of what does this mean? What do we really do as obesity medicine physicians? Which I think my hope is that it's not only helpful to candidates who are interested in certifying, to our diplomates and thinking about, well, I am certified. Let me go and see how my current practice compares to what this document says. But also for our broader medical community and thinking about, well, what if I refer someone to an obesity medicine physician, what kind of care can I expect them to receive? What is in their scope of work, so to speak? And now we can really clearly point to that, which I think is really important in building that trust with our other healthcare professional colleagues, but also most importantly with patients. Patients should know what they should expect care-wise, and now we have that clearly delineated and again publicly available for everyone to see.
That to me is just extraordinary. The amount of work and time and effort and all those types of things. Now you said that it's posted on the website for people that are, maybe just getting started or whatever, or maybe people that were not aware of this. I would call it an upgrade. Would you call it an upgrade? Would you
I
say,
think so.
yeah, okay, yeah.
Yes.
So we got this major upgrade and such. What is the website? If people wanted to go look at this outline, now we already talked about how this article is an Obesity Pillars. So there, all you have to do is go to Obesity Pillars, do a search, you can find it. But when it comes to that outline that you crafted based on all this input, what is the web address? I mean, how people get a hold of that?
Yeah, so if you go to abom.org, and then there's a link at the top for exam resources. It's listed free to download as a PDF from there. I think in the coming months, the ABOM Foundation, which is the entity that I work for, is also working to try to build out more resources and evidence that really maps to this new practice analysis. Again, and thinking about how can we support the knowledge of both candidates, but also for our current diplomates. And so that's something in the works. So that's kind of stay tuned. And that website will be abomfoundation.org. So that's coming, not yet available, but that really is the hope because we want everyone to know what obesity medicine is and to understand that. And again, it's just trying to be transparent and make things as accessible as we can.
So, when we're talking about content, we're talking about transparency. Those are all great things. But if you had to just give a very, simple message to folks who have never taken the exam, and a similar message to people who have taken the exam, what would be the simple message that you would want to get across with regard to all of this work that you put into crafting this outline and presumably influencing the manner in which the exam is worded and the questions that are in there and that sort of thing. What would be the message that you would most want to convey to, again, people who've never taken the exam or people who have taken the exam but who may take it again in the future?
Yeah, so I think that this will allow a detailed assessment for self-reflection. There will be some things on the content outline where people may say, I already know that, I'm good there, but I don't really know very much about this area. So I think the hope is really for current candidates, people recertifying, that they'll have a much clearer sense of what they might need to know and expect because we're really spelling it out in detail. And to have that self-reflection on, well, I didn't know that I needed to know this part, or, oh, I have that covered. I have a solid foundation in whatever that may be. I think that we're hoping that helps with the efficiency and preparation, as well as knowing what to expect on the exam. You have a better sense of the full scope because there's just so much more detail there.
Yeah, I think another thing here is I think it sort of levels the playing field too. Sometimes you always feel like, or I'll just speak for me. Sometimes I always feel like everybody else has got the inside information, and I don't have that, and it puts me at a disadvantage, or it has put me at a disadvantage. Here, you're just flat out telling folks, Here's the outline. And it doesn't matter who you are, you can go on the website, you can find the outline, and there ain't going to be any different outline for somebody that's in the know versus somebody that doesn't know anything about it, right? It's right there on the internet. And so people can choose to look at it and as you said, figure out target areas maybe they're a little weak in, maybe take some CME programs in those areas and whatever. But I just think it's a wonderful thing. The content, the transparency, and as I said, I think that's there's no better way to level the playing field so everybody gets a chance. Everybody gets an equal chance. And maybe not wasting their time, looking into other stuff when some people knew it was going to be an exam and other people don't. So I just, Kimberly, I got to just congratulate you and your colleagues. This is a fabulous, I must say that, prior to me reading this, I just didn't really understand how much you guys are committed to the work in order to make this objective and to make this fair and to make this transparent. So, this is just really outstanding. So thank you so much, Kimberly. I really
Thank
appreciate
you.
it. And thanks to you, the listener. You've been listening to the Obesity Medicine Association podcast entitled Obesity, a Disease.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.